Well, there's been some really interesting themes running through the month of February as we've met together. And I'm going to seek to wrap some of those themes up today as we've been celebrating the good things that God is doing in us and around us. And hasn't it been brilliant today to celebrate what God has been doing in the lives of Emily and Trish and Dot? It's been wonderful to see evidence of His work in their lives and to celebrate the way that members of our church family have been used by God in that work. And I don't know about you, but I've been really encouraged to hear the story of what's going on at Bethany and how they are seeking to remain true to their origins as part of Churches of Christ, part of something that grew up out of a desire to share the love of God with seniors in our community and their families. And I think it's really cool. I don't know if you've ever seen Bethany's mission statement. Hopefully, if you've been to Kingsley before, you've seen ours. Ours is this: sharing and declaring the love of God in our communities. We want everything we do to be about that. Bethany's statement's really similar. It's demonstrate the love of God by positively changing the way Australians experience aging. Every customer, every family, every community, every day. And when you look at those two statements, they're basically saying the same thing, but Bethany is saying we're called to minister to a specific group of people, and we get to partner with them in that. So some of our folks get to be involved in what's happening at Bethany Kingsley and in other places, and as they seek to share and declare the love of God in their communities and they're seeking God's leading for when and where and how to do that, they get to partner with a group that exists for that very purpose. And not only do they get to minister in that environment, but they get training and support from Bethany to not only grow in that context, but to grow in their ability to share and declare God's love in every part of their life. So there's this wonderful synergy where we're working together in the same mission and we're helping one another as we do that. We get to support them and they get to support us. And that's the beauty of partnership. That's why we celebrate partnership so often in the life of our church. And it's great to be able to celebrate that. So thanks, Peter, for coming and sharing that today. It's great to get a glimpse of what God's doing through some of those local partnerships. But there are other partnerships that we get to enjoy as well, where we get to see glimpses of the fact that God is at work in people's lives and He is at work through people that we are connected with. And I'm going to show you a little bit of a vid now of some of those partners that are a little bit further away from us than our friends at Bethany.
Morning. I'm currently in Kampung Do, which is a village in the middle of Papua, a very isolated village with practically no services at all. There is a small school here, primary school, but nothing else. And so this past week, I've been able to deliver loads of healthcare to lots of people. Over 180 patients I've seen this past week, some of them really, really sick. So it's been a huge blessing for me and hopefully for them too. I'm sure it is for them. But it's been great. And I just really want to thank you for your support and your prayers. I have tackled some pretty serious issues with the community, and that's been hard, but it's been great being able to open the Bible and read stories of God's promises and His love and His truth to the people here, and to pray with people and to see lives transformed. It's been great. So thank you for your prayers and your support, and thank you for praying for my family back in town too, who I miss. But I'm actually flying home this morning. We've seen the plane go overhead, so it won't be long and it'll be back here to pick me up. Thanks. See ya.
So it's nice to get a little update from what God's doing through one of our partners who's working away from us, but by God's grace, we get to pray for Mike and Fiona and their family and the work that they're doing. We get to support them financially. We get to encourage them personally. We get to be a part of what God is doing in those places where they might not have opportunities to have the love of God demonstrated practically and explained in words, except for the fact that there are people like Mike and Fiona willing to go and do that. And we get to be a part of it. Isn't it great to see what God is doing all over the place? Locally, in the people's lives who are part of our own community, in our local networks, as well as in our networks further afield. And I love to see that, and I love to celebrate that. And I think as a person, as an individual, as a community of people, sometimes we need to celebrate a lot more, don't we? Just step back, look at the good things God is doing, and say, thank you, God, you are at work all the time. But I've got a confession to make. I want more of that. I want more of those kinds of stories. I want more people being baptized as they demonstrate that they have come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, and they want everybody else to know that they are following Jesus too. I want people not only being baptized, but determined to live day by day, moment by moment, on display for Jesus, showing that they have been united with Christ through faith in him. I don't want Christians to try blend in anymore as though we've got to be cool and hip and like everyone else. I want us to be free to demonstrate the life of God coming through us. And I want to hear more stories like those ones Peter shared of lives being changed in nursing homes and in schools and in all of the other places where our chaplains that we support and our own people are going out and connecting with others. I want to see more stories of life change in our local community. And I want every people group on earth, no matter where they may be, I want them all to have the message of Jesus being demonstrated in all kinds of different ways so that they might know the love of God. I want to see strong indigenous churches that don't reflect Western culture or Eastern culture or any other culture except the culture of Christ as people in those communities are figuring out how to live for Jesus day by day in their own context. I want to see more of those good things happening. I'm not content with what I'm seeing so far. And it's not just those kinds of areas. I want my wife to see and be blessed by more of the character of Christ in me. And I want to be more equipped to be nurturing that in her. And I want to see my kids noticing in me more of the life of Christ. For them to be seeing stuff in me that they want to imitate, even as I'm imitating Christ. For them to inherit faith which is not a bunch of expectations, but a faith which they see is life-giving and is at the core of my being as their dad. I want them to see that more and more clearly. I want to be more and more courageous and sensitive in sharing Jesus with the friends that he puts into my life. I want to have more prayer and energy devoted to that kind of stuff instead of feeling busy or drained or distracted or fearful. And I praise God that he has seen fit to do some of those good things in my life. He has done some good things. It's just that I know that I need more and I want more. And I praise God that he wants the same thing. He's not content with where I'm at now either. He's not content with where our church is at now either. And he's not content where the church around the world is at either. He wants more for us. There are so many good things that God purposes to do. And so today is all about celebrating not only the great things that God has already done and just being grateful for that and acknowledging that, but it's also about owning the fact that God wants to do still more and asking ourselves, what does it take for us to be the kind of people in whose lives and through whose lives God can do that more. We've been looking at John 15 over the course of February, and if you've got your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn there. I hope it's a familiar passage to you. And as we've looked at it together, we've seen some themes come out that teach us a bit of what God is doing in order to make us more fruitful, in order to make his life come out of us more and more. And just to briefly recap on the context, Jesus is about to leave. He's been there and he's been the source of a lot of good things going on in the lives of the disciples. It's all been about Jesus and his ministry, but now he's about to go away and he's saying to his followers, now it's going to be through you that God does his thing. And he's preparing them to be the kind of people through whom God's life is able to burst into other people's lives. And so as Jesus teaches them about what that's going to take, we can learn an awful lot from how he does that. In the first week that we started looking at this passage, we saw that everything God produces comes from and is an expression of love. It all comes down to love. So if we want to see the goodness of God being expressed in our life, if we want to see God doing good things in us and around us, we've got to bring our own hearts back to that place of knowing that we are loved by God and returning that love not only to him, but to all those who God puts in the orbit of our lives. It all hinges on love, and that's what we explored in the first week together. In the second week, we looked at the idea that God works in different ways in each of us. And we can't grow in a healthy way unless every part of the body is involved. See, my journey with Jesus isn't just a journey that is between me and Jesus. It involves all of those God connects me with who share that journey with me. And God uses those people in my lives in ways that I need. And God uses me in their lives in ways that they need. All of us have a role to play in the life that God is producing in people. And so we need one another. God works in different ways in each of us. The good things that God wants to do are bigger than me and they're bigger than you. But he can do it in us as we remain connected not only to him but to one another. In the third week, we had Mark here who shared such an encouraging message last Sunday. And Mark exposed the way that God works through people who are willing to trust and follow him. God doesn't need us to do his work. God is so awesomely powerful. He can do whatever he wants. All he needs from us is that we're willing to take that scary step and trust him and do what he calls us to do. That's all we've got to do is to say yes, and he will do the rest. He will produce his life through all those who are willing to step out and follow him. So that's been the journey over the last 3 weeks, and today we conclude that journey as we consider this principle. God wants us to be even more fruitful. So he prunes the things in our lives that get in the way. And as we consider what that actually means, we're going to look at the first four verses of John 15. I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. There are two groups of people who are referred to in verse 2. Two groups of people who need to hear what Jesus is saying, not only in these first four verses, but throughout the rest of this chapter as well. And the first group that Jesus is dealing with are those who bear no fruit. People who might look as though they are connected to him. Maybe they rock up to church, or maybe they know the kind of the Christian language that you use to show that you understand what certain big words mean. Maybe they refer to themselves as being a Christian. Maybe they listen to all the right podcasts or worship music or have the right books on their shelves. They might look for all intents and purposes as though they are connected to Christ, but in actual fact, there is not a real personal connection to Jesus. And Jesus has in mind somebody who fit this category perfectly, who has recently left the group that Jesus is now talking to. A man who from the outside looked as though he was definitely one of the in crowd. He was one of the followers. But Judas was not a true follower of Jesus. His heart hadn't really been changed by the message of our Savior. He was still in it for himself. And at a certain time, at a crunch moment, it became very obvious, no, he wasn't connected with Christ. In fact, he betrayed the Christ. Jesus said to his disciples in John 13, while Judas was still present with them, you are already clean, though not every one of you. And now that Judas is gone, Jesus says to the rest, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. These ones, those ones who had remained, had been transformed by the renewing of their minds. Jesus spoke the truth, they believed it, and they received eternal life from him. Life that can't be lost, life that can't be snatched away, life that is demonstrated to be real because it produces good fruit in us. Something about God shines through. And if you profess to be a follower of Christ, just as Judas did, but your life isn't demonstrating the love of God, you may be in a position where at some point, just as Judas experienced, you'll be cut away. It will become obvious, no, you don't actually know Jesus. You've been hanging around him. You've been hanging around others who might know him, but you don't know him. And that's a tragic position to be in. So Jesus speaks first to that type of person, warning that that type of person will be cut off, will be eternally separated from him. And the plea is simple. Believe in Jesus. Receive life in his name. Trust him as the one who saves you from sin and hell. Obey him as your eternal king. Love him as the one who loved you and gave himself for you. Please don't let the first half of verse 2 apply to you. Don't let that be your destiny. Be somebody who is truly connected to Christ. And if that's you, if you've believed in Jesus, if you know he's God's Son, that he died for your sins, that he's granted you eternal life, if you know this and have received life in Christ, then this second part of the verse applies. You can be expecting some pruning to go on in your life to make you more fruitful, to help you get rid of the stuff that gets in the way of you actually demonstrating the life of God in your life. And that part of the verse is the answer to my heart's cry. I want to be more fruitful. I want my kids and my wife, and I want those who are around me every day, and I want those who might listen to me speak, and I want those who I might play sport against. I want everybody who comes into contact with me to see something of the life of God in my life. That's what I want. I don't want to put anyone away from Christ. I don't want to be a bad representation. I want them to see God's goodness in me. It's the most important thing to me. So I want to see more of the life of Christ. So how is God going to produce that? Well, he's going to produce that by pruning the stuff that gets in the way so that I can be even more fruitful. So I wonder what my Heavenly Father might need to prune in me to help more of that good fruit come forth. I wonder what he might need to prune in us collectively so that out of us in our lives together, more of his good fruit might be produced. It's funny, we often have the very opposite view of what Christ is saying here. When we start to think to ourselves, you know, how can I see more of God's goodness coming out in my life? How can I see God do more things through me to be a blessing to others? And what we naturally tend to do is we add stuff to our schedule. Well, I need to pray more, I need to read the Bible more, I need to go to more church services, or I might need to get in more service activities. And we think that we need to do more so that God can do more. But it's funny, isn't it? Jesus is actually saying the opposite. That what God does in order to make us more fruitful and to see more of his life come out through us begins with pruning stuff back, taking stuff out, getting rid of, not adding more to. I think sometimes we're so focused on adding more stuff to our lives and we're on this treadmill. Instead of running the race that Christ has marked out for us, we're running in circles just trying to do more and more stuff, thinking that if we just do more, God will do more. Doesn't work that way. Sometimes we need to have some stuff taken away first. So what might be some of the things that God needs to take away from our lives in order to be able to do more good in and through our lives? Well, I hope fairly obviously for those who have been following Jesus for a while, the first thing that I think of, and I reckon you would too, is sin. It's the stuff that doesn't fit with who God is. Stuff like pride, laziness, or selfishness, or gluttony, or greed, or any of those kinds of things. Less of those things will surely be a help in our life. And the word for prunes is the same word as the word cleans. And Jesus talks about the fact that as they've listened to his words, that his disciples have been cleaned. They've had some stuff removed from their lives that didn't fit with the character of God. And God is so gentle and gracious as he does this. Well, maybe not always gentle, but always gracious. And he's patient. He works with us step by step as he deals with the sin in our lives. I had a friend who led a Bible study. When I was in high school, we got together on a Saturday afternoon and a bunch of us from about year 8 to year 12 used to get around and we'd study the Bible together and we'd take turns in leading the studies. It was really cool. One day she came in with a story of something that had happened in her life that week. And this friend had recently started work in a new business. And over the few months of working there, had been promoted several times. And of course, when that happens, you start to feel like, man, I must be pretty good at this. And so she'd been praying, God, please don't let me be arrogant. Because I think she already detected that maybe she was starting to feel like she was kind of hot stuff. So the very next day after praying that prayer, she rocks up to work. And the big boss, not just the local boss, the big boss comes in and actually blasts her for something in front of other staff who she was a supervisor of. Really humiliating and shouldn't have happened that way. But it was like, oh, thanks God, that's the last time I ask you to make me more like you. But the cool thing about that is not only did that experience show her that, yep, she didn't have it all together and there were some things that this guy was seeing that she needed to grow in, so it did help her to become more humble, but not only that, not only did it prune back a little bit of pride that was growing up, as she dealt with that in a God-honoring way, as she didn't get self-defensive, as she didn't gossip and complain about the boss to the staff once he'd walked out of the room, as she dealt with that well, some good things came out where people were able to see Christ in her in a way that they hadn't been able to see it previously. So that pruning not only did the thing that she was asking God to do, it produced some new evidences of God's work in her life for others to see. And God does that. It's not always pleasant, but when God prunes back some of the sin in our lives, he gives opportunity for his goodness to be seen. And many of you have had those kinds of experiences as well. I wonder if God's speaking to you about sin in your life at the moment. Maybe, like my friend, it was the sin of pride. Maybe there are other things going on. In fact, to be honest, I don't wonder if he's speaking to you about it. I know he is, because none of us are perfect, and God's always working on something. The real question is, are we listening? Are we allowing? Are we actually inviting God to take away some of the junk that gets in the way of his life coming out in our lives? But you know, sin isn't the only thing that God prunes from our lives. Very often he removes stuff that isn't necessarily sinful, but it just doesn't fit with the good things that he wants to do in you right then. I remember when I first started in vocational ministry, I'd just left Bible college, just got married, and straight away as a young husband, I want to be the provider for my family. So we go down and I start this part-time ministry. And I'm thinking it won't be long until that's a full-time gig. I could see a huge amount of potential for what we were getting involved in. And I thought, in the meantime, I'll just get some other part-time jobs and that'll be fine. But I just got knockback after knockback, and usually not even a callback. It was just like I was the bottom of the list, not even worth replying to and saying, this is why you didn't get the job. I was getting nothing. And that was kind of pruning away that self-reliance and, yeah, I'll be able to do it, because I just couldn't find it. And it was really interesting what God was doing in that season, because as I learned that I couldn't actually just rely on myself and kind of bravely enter into the next adventure thinking that I was going to be able to do it on my own, I actually needed to trust him. And God worked through some very kind people in our lives who supported us very practically and generously in that season of life. And we got to see that God is our provider, not just because we read about it in the Bible, but he proved it time and time again, not only in providing what we needed, but there were even some times where he provided stuff we wanted but didn't actually need, but God provided it because he loves to do good things for his children. And so it was a great season. Now, ever since then, even though I've been in jobs where I have been able to provide financially for the family, that lesson has stayed with us, and now we don't sweat about money. We're not stressed about, you know, watching the income level that's coming in on a payslip, because we know that regardless of what's happening in that space, God's still going to be our provider. We can count on him. And that's such a wonderful, peaceful position to be in. I'm really glad that for a season, God pruned my ability to earn so he could prove himself as the one who actually ultimately provides. Very life-giving and freedom-giving for us. But not only for us, God actually was able to work through those people who cared for us during that season, and they got to demonstrate love, and that was good for them too. And that was an encouragement that they were able to have the means to do that. So God was doing good stuff all over the place, but he did it through pruning back some stuff in my life that I thought would be a really good thing. So there might be seasons that you go through in your life as well. And it's sometimes interesting the things that God prunes back. You might be surprised to hear that for me as a pastor, sometimes I've told people to quit Bible study and to quit areas of service that they might be involved in. You go, what? Studying the Bible is a great thing to do. Absolutely it is. Being involved in service in your local church is a really important thing to do. You bet it is. But if you're involved in studying the Bible with that group there and this group here, as well as the book that you're reading and the podcast you're listening to, if you're studying the Bible all over the place, when are you actually having time to put it into practice? You might be falling into that trap of thinking you understand it, but because you haven't actually done anything about it, you don't really get it. So sometimes there might even be good things that we need to step back from for a while to give God space to do the good things that he's wanting to do. God needs to be the one who communicates each of those things for us. And, you know, I see the holes. You know, we really need somebody to do that job. And, I'd so love somebody to put up their hand and say, I'll take care of that thing. You know, we really want people doing all kinds of things in the life of our local church. But I don't want anyone doing anything around here unless God asks them to. Unless God says, this is the thing I'd like you to do, then do it and throw yourself into it and do it awesomely. That'll be brilliant. But unless God motivates, prompts you to do it out of love for him and love for your church and love for those we're called to reach, don't do it. It's going to be a pain in your life, and it's not going to produce life in our church. Sometimes we need to prune back even the good things that others might expect us to do, because God isn't actually wanting to work through those things. Got a confession I've got to make, an uncomfortable one. So we planned out Fantastic February, and it was going to be fantastic, and it has been. I'm really thankful for it. But we had this schedule of things. So week one, we all get together on Sunday morning, and then in the Arvo, we go to a picnic. And then week two, we meet together in homes. And week three, we work together and find really cool, creative ways to share the love of God with our friends. And I'm really looking forward to getting involved in all of these different things. Week one, I go to the picnic. It's great. And week two, I didn't do the whole let's go out to somebody else's home thing. Didn't have anyone at our place. Really wanted to. But God actually wanted our family to do something different that week. And week three, I was so looking forward. I had stuff in mind that I was going to do with other members of our church to share and declare God's love in our circles that we mix with during the week. And it was going to be so cool. But again, God had different plans, and we ended up doing something else. And as the pastor, I'm like, oh man, I'm supposed to be the example. And why should you guys do it if I'm not doing it? But you know what? God didn't need me to be doing any of those things. He wanted me to be doing something outside my own program. And he's allowed to do that. And he's allowed to do that in your life too. And we've got to be the kind of people who give each other permission to say, you know what? If you're not called by God to be a part of this particular thing, that's fine. Don't do it. It'll get in the way of what God has called you to do. But here's the thing. Don't just cruise through life saying, well, I don't feel like that, or I'm no good at that, or, you know, I'm too busy for that. No, that's not how it works. Because God might be wanting to prune some of that stuff out of your life. The way that we know what we ought to be a part of and what we ought not to be a part of is by staying connected to the vine. It's all about our love relationship with Jesus, our love relationship with his church, and doing what love prompts us to do as God, in his sovereign wisdom, directs us each step of the way. And if you're not doing that, well, what do you expect God to do? But when we are doing that, as Jesus says, when you remain in me, you together as a community of people, all of you remaining in Christ together, connected to one another as you do, then life bubbles out in some really cool ways. Now, this might require some pretty courageous decisions to be made. God might be putting his finger on some areas of your life where he says, you know what, it's time for some pruning. Maybe it's the number of hours you work, or the number of trips that you take, or the amount of TV that you watch, or when you go to bed, or stuff like that. Maybe it's the number of things that happen at church that you're involved in. Maybe it's those little sins that you've allowed to stay part of your life, and you know, I don't want to be a goody two-shoes, and God's saying, no, you really need to deal with that issue. It could be any kind of thing that God is wanting to put his finger on, but I'm really thankful that right now he's wanting to do that in you and in me. He's always doing it. Why? Because he wants us to be more fruitful. He wants to produce more of his life in us. He wants other people to receive his love more fully as we share and declare it in our communities. He's not finished with us. He's got so many good things that he's wanting to do in us as individuals and in us as a community. We're just starting. But we will only see more of the work of God when we're prepared to allow God to do the pruning that God knows he needs to do.